Genesis chapter 7.
Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean beasts, of beasts that are unclean, of birds, of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two they went into the ark, to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 7th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah and Noah's sons Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those who entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark as it rose high above the earth. And the waters prevailed, greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all the flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days.
Okay. Any comments first? Any thoughts?
15 cubits is not that high.
We'll talk about that because it really is higher than you might think. We'll talk about the specific height on it. Very fascinating. Yes.
I just had a comment because my son brought it up when we were in this parashah the other day. That wasn't just Noah and the animals in the ark that didn't die, actually. He asked the fish, you know, and all the stuff
waters.
Just a little side note. FYI.
Whales were not on the boat. Dolphins were not on the boat. They were able to survive. You know, probably alligators survived. I don't know. Maybe not. Yes. Next question.
I noticed the word prevailed. Prevailed.
We'll talk
prevailed.
About that. It's a very fascinating terminology in Hebrew.
Like everything else.
We'll talk about that as well. No, it's important because the sixth chapter says something different than the seventh chapter. And we have to have a clarification about that. Any other thoughts?
How come he mentioned the husband's names, Noah's son's names, and not the wife's
names?
It
has to do with the seed.
With the seed?
You missed the other messages that I've given about the thing. Right off top, you know, right at the very... Yes. Oh, if I tell me another question.
I just had one more thought about how it said it started on the 17th day of the second month.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too.
And then just a little math, it ended on the 150 days later. And if you go and take our 17th day of our present month and go to the 17th day of the seventh month. It's never 150 days nowadays.
And a certain date within that month. Now, one thing is fascinating that you missed what Jeff brought out at the feast was fantastic. And it kind of clarified a lot of questions that in my mind is, oh, now I know why it's that numbered that date. Now I know why the number's also near the date. I know why the number's there now. I have a better picture than I ever had before. It's a fascinating thought, okay? Daniel?
Who went out there and measured the 15 cubits? I mean, did Noah open the door and say, okay, here's, drop a line. Oh, hey, it's 15. Who sit there and say, oh, it was 15? How do you know?
A cubic is for mathematical purposes. Now, Daniel talked about two different kinds of cubics, right? One is the royal cubic, and then was the standard cubic. The royal cubic had to do with being a king and the king's castle. He brought that out. Now, but a cubic is 16 inches. 18 inches of them. One cubic is 18 inches. So when we talk about that the ark was 30 cubics high, that's 45 feet. 45 feet. That's pretty high for a building, isn't it? Had three decks on it, three layers. And now the water was up, and finally the boat lifted up after one half of that feet. So 22 feet of water before the ark started rising above the ground. 22 feet of water. That's a lot of water, don't you think? So that's how big it is and how powerful it is. Yes?
How big is that?
15 feet? Okay.
Up in the air, that's like
oh, sheesh.
Probably times two or so.
Yeah. That's just a ballpark figure. No one knows exactly, like Daniel said, who's out there measuring it. Well, no one's out there measuring it. We just have to take and assume some interesting facts, you know, from past history, what these things are referring to.
Is it true that the animals were young and not that they weren't?
The Bible doesn't say that. Logically, it makes sense. He would take young animals, like little cubs and little sheeps and little animals in order to do that. Remember, it's on the ark not for 20 years, just for a little over a year. And those didn't grow that fast. You know, we had this picture from your kids, is a big, huge, giant draft out there, big, huge, white hippopotamus, and a big, huge elephant. You know, no, they're smaller animals, more than likely. I mean, that makes sense to you. I didn't say that's true. It just makes sense that it would be for that many animals to be on that boat. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yes?
Interesting. My wife and I were talking a while back about the biggest cataclysmic disaster that's ever befallen humankind. It's all over baby-themed type cribs and nurseries and stuff.
Yeah.
That's interesting. With that being said, a lot of things to talk about today. Actually, some of you guys have jumped ahead of me. So maybe I can call it off within a couple hours. No. All right. There is another Hebrew word that comes into play here on the very first sentence. It's kind of important because when we go back to the time of the Messiah, he mentioned about Noah's, quote, generation, end of quote. You remember that? Now, here's a connection. This word here for the generation, that is Noah's generation, is not the same word that you find in the fifth chapter. Let's talk about the generation of Adam. Entirely two different Hebrew words meaning two entirely different things. Now, I talked to you what in the fifth chapter what generation means in Hebrew, right? It's descendant, the next descendant, the next descendant, the next descendant, and the whole chapter is this man was this old when he had that son. That son was this old when he had that son. And this son was that old when he had that son. It's called a literal generation from one person to the next person, the next person, the next person. This generation here, Noah's generation, is a different word. It means a period of time, or what we would call an age. At the time of that particular point, there something was taking place now. An event was going to happen. A very fast and very rapid event was going to take place. So when we look at this thing, we start seeing the Hebrew was referring to a period of time, not necessary generation, next generation, next generation, next generation, next generation, next generation. It's a time slot now. And that's what the Messiah talked about, is that time slot, or what's called the generation of Noah in the New Testament in relationship to during the time of Moses, or during that generation of Moses, that time period of generation of Moses, something took place. So keep those things in mind as we see here. You see, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. You don't have to go there. Genesis 9, verse 12. And Elohim said, This is the token of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual periods of time. Though it says generations. Perpetual periods of time. It keeps many times. There's a lot of times that this event, now I'm going to keep it in this time, I'm going to keep it this time, I'm going to keep it this time, on a continual process. So that's, we have this picture now. And we're going to talk about time a little bit today, I hope, God willing, I get there. When we go to, if we have time. Play on words here. Okay, everybody's making fun of me. but I do want to go to Matthew 24 and verse 34, because this is where the subject matter comes into play in the New Testament. And that Greek word for generation is similar to this Hebrew word for generation, although it can refer to son, 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 also refer to a period of time. It's not like the ions or the ages, but similar to it, but not quite. Verse 34, Matthew 24, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation or this period of time, this period of events that he talked about prior of the so-called Great Tribulation, shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. And so we have this picture now. Now, he calls it very carefully here. Heaven and earth shall be passed away, but my word shall not pass away. But the day and hour no man knows. Now, keep that very fascinating terminology right now. Because I find it very fascinating here. It's also in the book of Genesis in the 7th chapter. Fascinating phrase that's being used. I love it. No, not the angels of heaven, only my Father. But as the days of Noah, or as the generation of Noah, at the time period of Noah, what took place? So it shall be, another event will take place in the very same place, or time sequence. We're in chapter 24. Well, it's 37 now. I started with 34, I'm just reading on. Okay. For as the days, meaning Noah, that were before the flood, what were they doing? Eating and drinking and marrying. We went over that last week about that, right? The very words that Messiah talked about here, we saw it really take place in the previous chapter, right? Oh, fascinating terminology. Same, not just, oh, I can go marry somebody. No, it was a type of marriage was taking place. The type of marriage taking place was as contrary to the will of God. Now, that's happening to us today, right? Are there marriages happening today that's contrary to the will of God?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I don't want any evidence. Don't tell me about it. All right. Now let's go on for just a minute. And they knew not until a flood came and took them away. Pay attention to this word now, verse 39. And took them away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So two in the field, one will be taken away, and the other left. Just like the flood. He just got through saying that they were taken away. Oh, what happened? Noah lived. Noah was left. His wife was left. His sons were left. His son and daughters-in-law were left. Right? So when people have this thing that there's going to be a great rapture, this is not talking rapture. Talk about death, destruction. Talk about death. He says in 2, verse 41, two grind in the mill, one will be taken away like the flood. How would you know that they were going to be taken away? Huh? How would you know if they were to be taken away? Let's say you are at the end mill and you have another person there we're working with. You've known them for years and you just work with them. You get the same wages. You probably even had a beer together with them. And which one's going to be taken away? You or that one? No, destruction. As the days of Noah, destruction came. When the Lord returns, a great fire, a great battle, a great war, a massive destruction is going to take place. Day of the Lord. It's not a pleasant day where we get to stand up and say, have a drink of wine and say, oh, blessed be he. And everybody's head face the earth is happy. It says they are mad, angry, furious. Yes.
You mentioned the Christian kind of rapture. It's the other way around. You're actually like righteous if you, you know, don't get left behind, which what we were taught. You know what I mean? You don't want to be left behind. They played these scary movies. And
well, I understand all that.
So
I read what it's written. I don't go and try to interpret what it said. He said taken away as they were in time of Noah. And he said they were taken away. When were they taken away? After the flood came. Not before. All right, now let's go back now to Genesis chapter 4. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a second. You didn't clarify.
Chapter 7.
Wait, you didn't clarify who's taken away and who's not. Yeah.
The ones that are taken away are the ones that are going to be killed. Just like the flood. The ones
that
are taken away in the flood were killed.
I understand that. That's not what I'm saying. You said, picture yourself in that role. You're next to Jim Bob, who you've worked with all this time. Who's getting taken away and who's not? What's the criteria?
We'll get the criteria and get back to Channel 7. I mean, verse 7. Channel 7. Verse. Genesis chapter 7. At 9 o'clock tonight. No. I just think it's kind of funny when I look at these things and I see there's an incredible comparison. All right. There was also a statement the Messiah did say. If the man, good man of the house, knew the thief was going to come, what would he have done? Prepared his house and stayed awake. Now, what is God asking us to do? To prepare our house and stay awake. He's going to come in the middle of the night, not in a bright, hot, sunny day at noon. So he's telling us, keep this in mind now, he will tell us when. Now let's find out about Noah. Verse 2, chapter 7, verse 2 of Genesis. And every clean beast that thou shalt take to thee by sevens, and male and female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, male and female. The fowl also of the air by sevens, and the male and the female, you shall keep them alive upon the face of the earth. Verse 4, for yet 7 days. Noah did not know when the flood was going to come until God said, in 7 days. 7 days. What do you think Noah had to do? He says, I will bring a curse upon the earth for 40 days or 40 nights, and every living substance that have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And what did Noah do? Verse 5. Noah did according to all that he commanded him to do. What did he do? Get the animals on the ark. and in 7 days it's going to come. Now, do you think the man just said, oh, I think I go out and preach to the world. I got to go out and get the broadcast. I got to go out all around the world and preach. No, he had no time for that. He only had 7 days to get on that ark and save his life, his son's life, his wife's life, and the life of his daughter-in-law's, and the life of all the animals that God commanded him, you are to keep alive with you. Now remember, in the sixth chapter, he had to store an awful lot of food. He had to collect an awful lot of food. Yes.
Do you think this is a parallel story to the virgins and the oil? Yeah, I mean, just
well,
the preparation.
I see a parallel, but I see a little about the virgins a little bit differently. But I gave a sermon on them some time ago. I just an interesting thought, though.
Yeah,
an interesting
thank
thought,
you.
Though. I will have no half of them. Well, it's still different.
Also, Richard, they were witnessing for 120 years while the ship was being, while the boat was being built,
we'll,
right?
We'll talk. No, it doesn't say that.
It didn't say 120. It took 120 years to build it.
120 years? Didn't say that. We'll get to the 120 in a minute.
Oh, okay.
That has a different, it's a prophecy. 120 is a prophecy. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. A lot of people don't know what the 120 is. We'll talk about the 120 years later, toward the end. All right? I'm not going to get there, right? You had a question?
We can't talk about the book of Jasher, but we'll talk about
that.
I'm not talking
about the book of Jasher. I'm talking about this book.
Yes.
I'm looking at Genesis. This is the one that I think that God had wants us to read. Now, it's the sixth chapter written in Hebrew, and also the seventh chapter is written in Hebrew. But the grammar is different in both chapters. Grammar is different in both chapters in Hebrew. Written by two different periods or two different individuals. Now, which one do you accept? The sixth one or the seventh one? Both of them, because they're another witness to it. We have the four Gospels, they're called. Each one gives a little bit different account on a lot of same issues. And even reverse the process sometimes. And we say, which one's telling us the truth? Because we're looking at time cycles. But they both are. There's a controversy within an awful lot of both Christianity and Judaism and the relationship between these two chapters, chapter 7 and chapter 6. And they say one of them is not true and the other one is. Well, I'm not going to go to that chair. I just want you to know that that's what they believe. That's not an issue to my mind. But 7 days, I will cause it to come. Now, Noah was prepared. How did he get prepared?
He obeyed.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back here again. I see righteousness before me in this time period. Verse 1. What did he see? He saw Noah. The previous chapter was telling you something else that was not righteous before God. The marrying and giving in marriage. Right? And God brought the curse. Simple as that. But he found one righteous person. That's not very many people, is it? We don't have the number. Doesn't matter. God doesn't tell us the numbers. So we know that Noah did according to what God had commanded him to do. What is taking place here? We're at this verse 5. What's taking place here now? What do you see that's going on in the life of Noah? He had 7 days to really get to work. He was sweating from the brow downward. I can't picture him saying, okay, I'm working 8 hours a day. And I'm going to go on strike. No, he worked 24 hours, day in and day out, day in and day out. And his sons did, and his wife did, and the ladies did. They worked. They worked hard. They only had 7 days. How long do you think God's going to give you?
Those daughters had to say goodbye to their families, their parents, their siblings. They had to say goodbye to their friends. They had to pack. That was an emotional time.
You see, what's taking place during the time of Noah was, we look at it as something different, but when you look at Noah's life, and his wife's life, and his son's life, and the daughter-in-law's lives, they lost family. It was devastating. It wasn't the time to pop the cork and have a champagne. They couldn't even sit and bawl and weep. They had to get to work. How would you like to know? I'll say no. Here you are. You're on this treadmill over here. And the other guy's a treadmill over here. You've been friends for years. All of a sudden God says, 7 days. What are you going to do? 7 days? I better do what you tell me to do now. Yes.
I think this is a heads up. This 7 day heads up to the righteous Noah and his family is akin to what it says in the New Testament. Paul says, you have no need that that day should come upon you unawares, my brethren, because you don't walk in darkness, you
right.
walk
you
in the light.
When you walk in light, we'll have it.
So I think there's a big parallel there.
It's a huge parallel there. You nailed it. Plain as day. But if we don't walk within the righteousness as Noah did, we're going to miss it. Amen. We'll be taken away. And the other guy's going to be safe. Now, as the days were, so will be the timing, that period of time, of the return of the Son of God. Now, he said, they were unaware. I know that there's an awful lot of people going around and said, Noah's out there preaching the righteousness from here to there, there to here. Yes, there's a few statements in the Testament about it, but basically, it didn't work. That didn't work. They were unaware. Let me ask you, what makes someone unaware?
False church.
Not a love of the truth.
One person at a time, please. I can't take all the same time. Okay, if what makes a man righteous? What was it? Trust God. Trust God makes you righteous. Now, when Abram, something was counted righteousness about him. What was counted righteousness about him?
Because he believed God.
Trust God. He trusted God. Get this belief thing past. It's a trust. Committing yourself to trust him. I believe there's a God. Yeah, do I trust him? I believe there's a devil. Do I trust him? I believe the sun's going to come tomorrow. Do I trust it? No, I have to trust God. Both in Hebrew and Greek, that's a more powerful statement. It says trust. Okay? And that means something to me. I hope it means something to you. You stake your life on it. You literally stake your life on it. You stake your children's life on it. You stake everything, your job on it. You stake everything on that. Okay? That's how it boils down to. You know, the sixth chapter talks about, you know, even bringing forth the creepy, crawly thing. Well, that's true, it does. That's why we have, you know, worms and anything else that creeps and crawls. He had to take also creepy and crawly things. We say, oh, did he have to take a mosquito? That rat, why couldn't you just let the rat's nest die? I love that rotten snake. Why did that snake put the board for? Well, now, by the way, these animals came to Noah. Noah didn't have to go out down to South Africa. He didn't have to go over to Bangladesh. He didn't have to go to New York City. He didn't have to go anywhere. The animals were brought to him. All he had to do was make the ark and put them there. Yes?
The question is, The unclean, why would he want the unclean? Is that like for us? Because we are unclean until we're made clean, or what?
Okay, well, that's a parallel that could work, but I want to get on this other thing. Okay, now, you have to be careful with the clean animals and the unclean animals. All right, now we know that in Leviticus it names what an animal is clean to be eaten. Right? Are all those animals and birds that are listed, are they also to be sacrificed unto Elohim? So when we think about what was clean, what did Noah do when he left the book? He sacrificed certain animals. He didn't sacrifice a reindeer. The reindeer didn't have to be seven. All they had to do is two of them. The ones that were to be sacrificed, the ones that are clean, that's what we pay. So when you think about all clean animals, wow, you know, there's an awful lot of birds out that are they're clean. They're in the millions. He had to collect seven. Where'd they live? let's say elk. We went to this place at Savari West, and there was this big, huge elk there. And it's a big, monstrosity thing. And I says, well, that's not sacrificed. You can eat it, but it's not sacrificed. It's not what you give to God. And it's a big elephant, a big, big, big thing. I said, I wonder, were there seven of them? So it's one of those questions I always have. I don't have a full answer. I'm going to bring this out to you because in the point of what is to be sacrificed unto God must be clean and must be of a certain species, not of anything that you like to give to him. Okay. First, yes.
Takes so long next time. The seven clean, is that versus the two of everything else, but the seven number for the clean is so for when it's done, it's for sacrifice. Is that what we're leading up to?
That's what I'm saying. Because seven is a very important number with God. Always has a very important number with God. And there's certain things that must be counted for a specific purpose. Seven is a swearing. It's like an oath. Okay? And so we take a look at that seven, and we're going to see that it has a significant number in the Bible completely. And seven starts showing up very heavily here in Genesis, the first part. And we kind of associate it with something else. But you remember the oath that Abrams had to do at the well? How many sheep did he have to give up? Seven. It became known as an oath. Why would he just use seven? Why didn't he just use one? Because it's not a commitment on his part. Once he's given up seven, it's total commitment. And so God is saying to Noah, bring in the seven. And Noah did it. So Noah was committed. He did his job. And blessed be God that he did exactly what he was supposed to do. I don't talk about theory of evolution. That doesn't matter. Forget it. Now, we're going to go in here. Noah was 600 years old when he went in. That was a very interesting word. Verse 9. And there went in two and two unto Noah. There went in two and two unto Noah. Here is where the animals came to Noah first, and then Noah put them into the ark, or that his family did. The animals were coming in two by two. Two by two. Two by two. They didn't come in as a herd. They didn't come in running wild. They didn't come in terror or frightened. They were just doing what God commanded them to do, and they did it. Animals, do animals obey God?
Yes.
I think it's kind of funny, but there is a statement one person made. I can't prove it one way or the other, but it says, the reason why animals are not afraid of the spirit world, because they see it.
Yeah.
God lets them see it, but not. Well, They gave the example of one major one. What major animal in the Bible that saw a spirit being?
The donkey.
The donkey. No one else saw him. Just the donkey. And even during the time of Daniel, we'll get there, I think, I don't know, Elijah or Elijah, I don't remember which one, but the prophet's sidekick didn't know, was afraid and frightened, and he said, oh, for crying out loud, God, let us see a big, huge, massive army. Huge, massive army. And he felt safe all of a sudden. So God doesn't give us those things because that's not what he wants us. Otherwise, we depend upon the angels and not upon God. And that's not the object of an angel. Angels don't depend upon you. They depend upon God themselves. Anyway, so they went in there. And verse 10, it says, and it came to pass after 7 days, something happened. And we get to the rapidly pretty quick here. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the second month, the 17th day of the month. How many of you remember? How many were at the feast last year with us? How many of you saw Jeff's whiteboard? About he went last first, the first last, you know, remember? Okay, it bought a certain period of time, aren't they? Now, what did you see? The second month, what is so important about the second month? If the first one is missed, Passover. Now, this is the 14th day, though. No, not the 14th day, I'm sorry, no, 17th. 17th day, I'm sorry. So it's even afterwards. 14, 15, 16, 17. 1, 2, 3, 4 days? Or do we begin 15, 16, 17? Days of unleavened bread. Third day. Those who... It was just very fascinating knowing that that's a very fantastic period of time. Okay? Something happened on that particular day. Here, what took place was a flood. Death. Death took place. Not life. Except there was life that was spared. Right? And there was 8 lives that were spared. Now, what does 8 refer to? Infinity. Remember, turn it sideways. It's forever. It's forever. It's forever. Remember John brought that out at the feast this last year? I thought it was a very clever statement because it is. It's a forever thing. The resurrection. No, I'm sorry, though. Of the Messiah. We'll talk about that later. Much, 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 much later. And on the 100th year, on that day, very fascinating, and the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is a very important number. Okay? Of course, now it talks about his sons and who they are and so on and so forth. And at verse 17, the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted up from the earth. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up from the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed on the earth. All the high hills were under the whole heavens were covered. It uses the word prevail and prevail twice. I know some of your translations says exceedingly. Well, that's the best way I guess you could translate in English. It just kept on increasing. The water stopped. The rain stopped. But the water kept rising. Because now the water's coming up from the earth. And so it took that period of time. It says, verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, come up and get bigger and bigger, and then the mountains were covered. The ark was lifted up 22 and a half feet underwater. Half the ark was in the water. Its water line was 22 and a half feet. That meant that ark would had to be very weighted down with a tremendous amount of tonnage.
23,000 tons. I thought it was interesting, too. I just heard this somewhere, I don't know where, about how the Son of Man even was lifted up on wood, the ark being lifted up wood from the earth to the saving of eight. I don't know.
That's an interesting thought. I'm not going to say one way or the other on that one. But 15, being lifted up only 22 and a half feet, I think the Son of Man went much higher. He went much higher than that high. That's my thinking. Okay, yes. For the rain. The rain stopped. But the water prevailed. It prevailed. Oh, no. It says there in the sixth chapter, this chapter, I'm not quite sure, that the water beneath the earth were gushing up.
Right.
Okay? So it wasn't just the water coming down, it's also the water coming up.
Is there any parallel to the 40 days of fasting
in the wilderness? No. That parallels with Moses more than does with this story. Okay? 40, by the way, interesting, 40 is a very interesting terminology. Yes?
So there were water underneath the surface of the earth as well. It was like an ocean under the earth as well as on.
Yeah.
That's where we get most of our water we drink from the ground is from under the ground,
water.
Under the earth.
Yeah.
There's huge clear water rivers under the earth. Massively large ones. They're bigger than any, Amazon. They're bigger than Amazon. They're huge.
What about it never raining before the flood?
I'm sorry, what? Where did it say it never rained before the flood?
I'm just asking you.
It doesn't appear to be. It doesn't state that as a biblical statement that it did not rain for 1,000 some odd years. It didn't say that. We get it confused with the statement of when the Creator created man in a dry area and He caused water come up from the earth to make man. To make man. Okay, that's why we're mud. And the book of Genesis, of and by itself, how many rivers were coming out of there? How'd the rivers come out? From the rain coming down or the water coming up? Okay. We could one way or the other make a difference. But you understand water was very abundant during the first 1,000 years. But what they did not know, what they did not know was what? Okay. All they were doing was eating and drinking and marrying and all that kind of stuff. And they did not know the flood was going to come. You mean the flood? They didn't know the flood was going to come? How did Noah know a flood was going to come? Okay. So is water and a flood or rain listed in the Old Testament never existed until after Noah or at Noah's age? Doesn't say that. You can interpret it one way or the other. You can believe what you want. But I cannot stand up here and say, no, there was no rain that ever came down. I don't know. Doesn't tell me that. God doesn't tell us with details. He tells us what He wants us to understand and hear. Now, a flood's a flood. Okay, I don't know whether it's a flood by a river or a flood by rain or a flood by anything. A flood's a flood. It's not necessarily that never was. Yes?
Someone here said that there was a mist that covered the earth.
That's the very beginning of the creation. And we had it, we're talking about the Garden of Eden. Now, that Garden of Eden was gone. Now, how did the Garden of Eden get its water? From the rivers. When you think about the mist, when you go to that very first part of the very second chapter, I'm not quite sure of Genesis, but when He created man, yes, mist came up from the ground at that point in time when he made man, there was no, read it again, there was no vegetation. There was no grass. There was no trees. There was nothing there where God created Adam. Nothing. So the mist came up out of the ground, not from top down, and he made mud. Made man. How much water was there? How much water are you made up of? A lot of water. Okay, he used a lot of water to make a muddy guy. Anyway, we won't go there.
But when he made a man, there was already the other days, there was vegetation, trees,
right,
everything
where,
beforehand.
Where? In the garden. It's very clearly in the second
long
chapter.
Before the made
very,
man.
Very clear in the chapter. Now, before he made man, there was no vegetation. I'm not saying no vegetation to the face of the earth. I'm saying where he made man. That's the situation. That story is not the story of the entire globe. It's a story of creating man. And God did not need, to my mind, did not need to prove, oh, I evolutionized this guy. I made him with nothing around. Nothing whatsoever. No water, no trees, no mud. And then he took him, and then where did Adam was placed? He was then put into the garden. He wasn't created in the garden. And he was said, I'm going to take you back out again where you were made from. You're not made in this garden. You're made out there in that mud. I'm sending you right back out in that dirt. And that was the curse that Adam had. My mind's very clear. But I want to go back to 40. Of course, it's a plurality of a word, meaning four. It becomes the word four, obviously. But four is now still a noun. Now, it came from a verb. And that verb means square. To square things up. A square. You know what a square is? We're talking about four corners of the earth, four heavens. Four. It's a square. And we have this great thing in the book of Revelation called the city of what? Four squares. Now, that sounds strange. Technically, the word square in Hebrew does not mean in that sense it's a square, rectangular box. Okay? Nor it means on the four corners of your garment. It doesn't mean the square corners. What it means is it will be expanded outwardly. It expands out. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why the kingdom of God will be a square. That is, Hebrew phrasing, it's going to encompass and take over and get larger and larger and larger. To play on words, we use the word for. Has to do something that's expanding in all four directions. Do you know what else was also, but it wasn't a rectangular square? I mean, it wasn't a square. It was a rectangular. It was a what? The tabernacle. And it expanded outwardly. Where were the tribes? They're on the outside of the tabernacle. And what does the Hebrew tribe mean? What does that word tribe mean? What? A branch. The branch is sticking out. The word tribe means a branch, literally. Like a vine and a branch. I am the vine and you are the tribe. I am the vine and you are the branches. You understand that? That's where that terminology comes. And we know from that very parable, the Messiah is saying is that the branches are going to get bigger and bigger. And the house of Joseph, he was so large, he expanded outwardly beyond his dwelling place. He had to go and get a bigger place. Expansion, expansion, expansion. We also know, quote, well, I don't know if I know that, but I've been told this, that slowly our galaxy is expanding farther outward, outward, outward. Moon has been slowly going farther and farther and farther away from the Earth. And it's squaring out in a Hebrew phrase. It's expanding outwardly. Now, in your spiritual life, I hope the Spirit of God within you is expanding and expanding and expanding. I hope it's squaring itself out. Put it in those phrases. Does that make sense to you? It's very fascinating in Hebrew word. I got about 5 more minutes left here. I'm a little bit... All flesh died upon the face of the earth. Okay, let's go to verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the earth, of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, the fowl of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth. Noah only remained. Did you catch that? Only Noah remained. One is taken and the other remains. The Messiah says the same words. Exact same phrase. In Matthew 24. Said the very same phrase. We're talking Noah's time. He talked Noah's time. And here, they were all destroyed. Only Noah remained, and they that were with him in the ark. One is taken, the other one remains. When someone's left, what does that mean he's left? He's left behind? Yes. That's not what it says. One is taken, as it was in the days of Noah, and one remained, as in the days of Noah. All right. I'll read this again. Matthew 24, verse 39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So that also the coming of Son of Man will be. There will be two in the field. One shall be taken away as the days of Noah of the flood, and the other left or remained. Two will grind in the mill. Verse 31. 41 rather. One shall be taken away as the days of the flood, and the other one will remain. Now, verse 42. Very powerful. Watch you therefore, for you do not know the hour of your Lord does come. For ye may, I put my words in here, ye may be taken away. Remember the day of the Lord is a bright, sunny day, right? It's a day in which we don't have to be afraid of. No man has to be afraid of. It's a day of not dark clouds, but a bright, shiny cloud, beautiful, and the sun is out. There's a nice, bluey background, right?
No.
That, what? Do I have wrong?
The day of gloom and doom.
Gloom and doom.
That's what Joel said.
And a major war from above is coming down. From above. Guess what? The rain came from above down for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm not saying the war is going to last for 40 days and 40 nights, but I'm saying that power will come down for 40 days and 40 nights. And then something will prevail and prevail as the days of Noah. All right? I'm just using parallels. That's all. Now, that's a very interesting word. We have to go back to chapter 6, verse 3. I'm going to see if I can't do this. I mean, I have to do it real fast. It's a phrase, a word that's being used here. Verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6. I didn't talk about it last yesterday because I didn't want to talk about it yesterday until today. It says, my spirit will not strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. Interesting. Now, Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. How old was Shem when the flood came? 100 years old. Oh, did Shem die at 120? Did Shem die after 220? Oh, when did Shem die? He was still alive when Abraham was still alive. long, long time. So what is this 120 years about?
The age of man.
Age of what?
Jubilees. 120 jubilees. 6,000 years.
How do you come up with 6,000 years, my friend?
Day is 1,000 years, and the Sabbath is coming soon. When he
Believe
will rule and reign.
You see this? I'm gonna try to use it. Oh. See, it happens. I try to use something. Okay. I'm not too very good at this. My son and Jeff are pretty good at it. All right. All right. Now, my friend back there says the age of man, 6,000. Okay, is that true? Let's see if I get this right. Oh. A, B, R. Is it E-M or I-M?
R-A.
M. All right. I was going to shorten the name down. I get myself confused if I try to do that. This is a theory. Okay, I cannot prove it one way or the other, but just a fascinating way I looked at it. Hope I get my thinking right. That means it's not equal to, but thereabouts. All right? All right. I got this not equal to. It just means approximately that point in time. No one can nail it down, but they're close to that figure. They believe. Just a theory. Now, just understand what I'm saying. Number two, Abram. All right. This is where they come with the word 600. All right. Three. The last 2,000 years rabbinically refers to the time of the Messiah. The Messiah is doing something in his last, from the time of he came on the scene until he returns is approximately 2,000 years. Do you know what? Do you know when that 2,000 years is supposed to come? According to theories? 2016. That's what we saw when that came right. I have no idea if that's even close. But to understand something a little bit different about these 2,000 years, there's another little thing behind it. This equals 40 jubilees. Same thing here, and same thing here. 40 jubilees. So 6,000 years, 40 and 40, add them all up, what do you got? 120. I'm not saying that I think this is true. I just find it fascinating that because Shem didn't die 20 years later. He didn't even die 120 years later. And Moses died at 120, but no one else has lived beyond the 120, says Moses. Did you know that? Nobody's lived beyond 120. That's it. That's it. I find that extremely fascinating. So that's 120 years. Now, what do we have when God looks at time? Does God live in the realm of time? Okay. So he's telling us something about something. Whether this is makes sense or whether it doesn't make sense, I just found it quite fascinating when the terminology they use is that 6,000 years of the year man. Oh, that's interesting. I'm beginning to wonder maybe it's not 6,000 years of the year man. 2,000 years of the eternal creator doing something between Adam and Abraham. 2,000 years that the creator of heaven and earth is doing something from Abraham to Yeshua. Now 2,000 years the creator of heaven is doing something from Yeshua until he returns. I don't look at it as the age of man, personally speaking. You can look at it that way, that's fine. I don't care. But I just find it very fascinating because I see everything that God is doing. I see every action that we've gone through, and this book of Noah that we're going through, it's God's actions. Noah didn't bring on the flood. God did. We have this name back here. How many of you know what that name means? What does that name mean? The destroyer or the deluger. The one that brought forth the flood. This is the reason why when God spoke or Yahweh spoke unto Moses, as Adam and Abraham didn't know me by this name. He didn't call me by this name because that's not what the name he used me by. He called me Shaddai. Why? He wasn't that far removed from the flood. He saw an incredible amount of danger, damage, destruction. The power. Now El Shaddai is Almighty, we call him today. We translate it in English the Almighty. Why is he Almighty? Because he destroyed everything. There is no other being that can do that. And there's no other being that will ever be able to do that. Only one. And when we read the book of Revelations, and they use the word Almighty, he's saying the deluger is coming again. The destroyer is coming again. That's what it's all about. So you think of God being Almighty, be aware you should be talking about him in the nation and the state of, wow, we're talking power. As it was in the days of Noah. Okay, I'm over time.
Can't drop bombs in goes off the cliff. Thank you. Wait, so you're saying that no, that the days we ought to be looking out for, not glorious, but we should be planning for destruction coming?
That's what it says. This is what Messiah said. The Son of Man is not coming. When he comes, he's not going to come with the birthday cake.
No.
He's not going to come with wonderful champagne. He's not even going to come with wine. He says, I'm not going to drink this stuff until I return.
He's not coming like with his angels yet. After we make it through the fire.
Do I make it what?
No, he's going to come after we make it through the fire.
Yes. 24th chapter of Matthew tells you that. Tells you precisely his coming. After the tribulation, not before.
Right. Them breaking the marriage vow, like men marry men, and making it legislation? No?
No.
Okay, I just don't know what you think is a clue of getting into marriage.
We still do that.
You missed that one from last week.
We still do that.
The very phrases that the Messiah used was exactly used in the book of Noah. And I find, wow, what were they doing wrong? They were doing something they should not have done. I talked about the seed. The seed. That seed is the only thing that has a count in it. The others have no count in it. The seed has a count in it.
Right.
Noah has a count in him. Shem has a count in him. Abraham has a count in him. They all have a count in them. And the book of Luke brings it all out. Book of Luke counts about that generation of Adam. Son to son to son to son to son, all the way down until it reaches the Messiah, and that's the end of the line. The seed has come. The seed has come. He had no children.
No.
That's it? Yes.
Yeah, because it also says in Luke, I believe, I forget where, but it says, not just in the days of Noah, but as in the days of Lot.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
Will be the coming of. Yeah. So it behooves us to see what was happening
reason why you, Matthew,
in Sodom and Gomorrah, speaking of what you were just talking
right.
about.
Right.
So,
my God, because along both those lines, keep in mind that the vast majority of the world does not do what we do here. I mean, as far as the number, the number of people who do the whole same-sex marriages, that's very isolated in the number of people or number of worlds or countries that allow such thing. So to say, oh well, that's the key. Wait a minute. That's a tiny speck of what God works with in the whole world, where everybody lives, not just here.
Right. And the thing I think that we have to be ready for is when the Messiah said, if the man knew he was going to be robbed sometime in 7 days, he would have done what? Guarded his house so it would not be broken up. Noah guarded his house and it was not broken up by the flood. It was saved.